Okay. So after this, you know, the dialogue takes a very radical turn, because thus far the metaphors that they use to argue with each other are at least, you know, metaphors from real life. You know, whatever. It's a man looking for a shidduch, a man cutting reeds, a man making loans. You know, all these, you know, all the metaphors used are, you know, things from everyday life that are very cleverly being used to allude to issues of the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem. From this point onwards, right, the dialogue goes, you know, nuts, you know, for lack of a better word, right, and it takes a whole different, where they start talking about, you know, in code, and the code that they use talks about things that can't be in physical reality, right? And just to give an example, they talk about, you know, if salt should rot, how do you preserve it? Well, with the placenta of a mule, as you know, that came from a mule that gave birth. And neither salt does salt rot, nor does a mule give birth, right? You know, and it talks about the son of a mule that, you know, all types of things that physical reality just can't happen. You know, about a field that grows knives. How do you harvest it? Well, with the horn of a donkey. And a field neither grows knives, and nor does a donkey have horns. It's, you know, all these things that, you know, and these things are take very long to explain, and they're very deep, and we'll explain them in detail, God willing, next year. Chazal tell us that Hanukkah, just like Purim, is an eternal holiday, so we could be sure we'll be celebrating Hanukkah next year and the year after, and God willing, you know, with Mashiach Tzidkenu, we'll discuss what's meant in these highly advanced metaphors that are very fanciful. You see, our discussion is obviously getting deeper if the metaphors are getting much more far-fetched, right? And the elders of Essence, they asked for it. They asked for it. They asked, you know, the next line in the story in the Gemara is that Emilan Milsa de Ktivi, tell us false things. Tell us fanciful, wild, false things. They asked that, you know, the conversation take this turn, right? And then the whole dialogue, you know, happens with these, you know, exchanges of metaphors that can never happen in physical reality. Just physically impossible. Why is that? What's going on? So what I want to accomplish in this final session of this series for this year, right, is just to give a general introduction to what's going on in the upcoming discussions. And based on next Hanukkah, we'll delve into them in detail. But just in general, right? Right now, the attack is switching, right? Until now, the nature of the dialogue was, you know, the inner message was going is challenging the notion that the Jewish people are really the chosen people, right? Be it were they even chosen in the first place, be it how could they still be the chosen after they've sinned, right? As we've explained, now there's a counterattack. They're challenging Rabbi Shua ben Hananya to explain to them their own existence. Meaning to say like this: you, the Jewish people, you say that Torah is the reality, right? You know, Torah is the reality, and our whole perspective that we have on life and the whole biochemical consciousness and the way it understands the sciences and philosophy and all that, it's all a lie. It's all a lie. It all is a byproduct of the sin of Adam Arishon, and we explained this. I refer our listener back to the second session of this series where we explain this at great length, that the whole secular mind is just the result of Chet Adam Arishon. The whole secular mind, the whole way it measures time and space, right, it's all from Chet Adam Arishon. And that's what has to do with the pregnancy period, like we explained. Okay, so they're saying, so explain to us, like, you know, because we see that we have power. We see that we have intelligence, right? We see that, you know, the measurements that we take fit and work. So now it's incumbent upon you to try to explain to us, right, why we exist and how it seems that what we see and what we say works and makes sense. And that's where Emla Mili Dikdivi, tell us fables, you know, tell us wild, fake things, meaning explain to us how Sheker, how what you claim is just one big lie, one big illusion, how it seems to work so well, right? explain to us, because it works. You know, the measurements that we take of the sciences and mathematics and the philosophical ideas that we say, they all seem to make sense and they all seem to work. All right, so explain it to us. So, you know, and that's why after this, you know, the whole thing takes a fascinating twist of things that can't exist, right? And the basic message over here is, yeah, I could tell you a fable. I could tell you a fable. Look, I'll tell you a story that makes sense, even though such a story can't exist in physical reality, right? An amazing thing. I'll tell you a coherent story, you know, and the field grew knives, and only the horn of the donkey was strong enough to, you know, break the knives off the land. Yeah, it's a story that makes sense. You know, I mean, you know, meaning there's a subject, there's a verb, there's a direct object, there's a prepositional phrase, and you know, the whole thing is puff and bluff, right? The whole thing can't exist, right? And so they're challenging him. Explain to us how Shecker could work, right? And seemingly take up space. And so, yeah, I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story that can't be, and yet, you know, it sounds like a very nice story, like, you know, to the ear that's just listening to sound bites, right? It sounds like a nice story and a pleasure to listen to. So, you know, and that's why the whole story takes this shift, right? And just to make the message more real to ourselves, you know, to bring a more contemporary example, right? And sick, you know, it's just a very sad thing, you know, the point that Rishul ben Hananya is making is just so, you know, real to us that we live with an industry that didn't even exist back then, right? Called the entertainment industry. A movie that comes out, right? You know, affects fashion, right? It affects also the toys, that the action figures are produced based on that movie, right? And people start dressing like characters in that movie and explaining, you know, the hairstyles and even certain phrases used in that movie now become, you know, cliches, you know, become part of the slang or the colloquial that people speak in, right? It's amazing, right? That something that never was and never existed has a tremendous, profound impact on our minds and therefore affects our lives, because if it has an effect on our perception is reality, and after that, you know, it becomes very real to us, you know. So movies, you know, and television and novels affect life more than thinkers and speakers and educators, right? Because, you know, the mind, you know, sucks it up, and then people start, you know, acting in accordance with the sights and the sounds and the message that's in the entertainment industry, you know, and it becomes real. It becomes real because it affects the perception, and perception is reality. And this is what, you know, Rabbi Shmuel ben Hanan was just showing to them, explaining to them, yeah, you're all puff and bluff, and yet you could have a puff and bluff, you know, and something that never was could have a tremendous impact, the way I could tell you a story about things that can never happen, right? I could say a whole rational sentences that are grammatically correct, and they're talking about things that never were and can never be, right? And that's all a allusion to the entertainment industry. You know, who hasn't heard of Mickey Mouse, right? Mickey Mouse is, you know, famous worldwide. About 20 years ago, he's probably 70 years old. Soon his 70th birthday is coming up. I remember by his 50th birthday, they made a big deal about it in Disney World, right? He's affected the lives of millions. You know, there's not a child anywhere in the world that hasn't heard me, hasn't seen Mickey Mouse, that hasn't had a certain effect. You know, it just has a tremendous effect, whether it's on the economy, that there are Mickey Mouse products, be it dolls, be it towels with his image, or shirts with his image, and, you know, cartoon, like, it had an effect on the economy, has an effect on the mentality, and it's things that never were. Like, that's really a cartoon. A cartoon is, and a movie is all mealy dictivi, right? It's all stuff that's just fables, things that never were and can't be, and they still have a tremendous effect, right? And that's the explanation, right? The fact that, you know, secular culture has a tremendous impact, you know, and secular science has a tremendous impact on mankind, it doesn't mean that it's real, All right, because unfortunately, man's mind could be affected by things that are total sheker, and because it has an impact on man's mind, perception becomes reality. So that's exactly what they challenged him. If you know, tell us fables, they're challenging him, right? Tell us things that never were and can't be, and let's see if you can. And Rishua, he does it. He tells them all types of things that can happen and can't be. And I say, yes, that's who you are, right? You're nothing but fables, you're nothing but story, you're nothing more than a cartoon, you're nothing more than a movie. And yeah, and a fable and movie can have a tremendous effect. And the message for us, you know, it is the message I want to leave our listeners with, for Hanukkah, is that, you know, Hanukkah is all about the struggle against secular culture. We should not be intimidated or even impressed by how secular culture has so much impact and such a grip on people's minds and hearts, you know, and it makes such a difference to such people. We can't let that, you know, in any way impress us, certainly not scare us, right? Because that's the unfortunate truth, right? Since perception is reality, if the human mind is stupid enough to buy into, you know, something that never was and never will be, which is what happens every time people go en masse to see a successful movie or to watch a cartoon, take in any form of entertainment. We see how it affects fashions and the economy and values, God forbid, right? It affects morality, right? As well knows, these are all the famous poems that have come from the media and the entertainment industry. Right? So that's the whole nature of secular culture. It in essence doesn't exist. It in essence doesn't exist, as we've explained. And things that don't exist could still have a major impact and seem to make a lot of sense. That's true. Yeah. They threw in a challenge. How does it make sense? And how does it have such an impact? I said, yeah, I'll tell you fables that make sense. Right? Fables that are a pleasure to listen to, even though these things never were and can never be. And that's the whole secular culture, that's the whole secular wisdom, and that's the message we have to take with us from Hanukkah.